A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe, and you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Hi, my name is Grigor Dimitrov, and you're listening to Tennis Podcast.
Hi, I'm Mats Wilander, and you are listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast. It has been a little bit of a while since we spoke to you because Catherine Whittaker has been hogging the airwaves with people like James Blake and Brad Gilbert. But it's good to hear from them, wasn't it? Well, I'm David Law, happy to say back in the chair. Catherine Whittaker's not here, so I can hog the airwaves myself for 20 minutes or so. And I've got somebody fantastic to spend the next 15 or 20 minutes with because I'm sitting inside a commentary box at BT Sport, alongside top tour coach Nigel Sears. How you doing, Nigel?
Morning, David. Something's never changed, do they? I'm stuck in here with you again.
Yeah, we are. We're actually recording this on Friday ahead of the semi-finals in Doha, where we're going to be watching Carla Suarez Navarro against Lucy Safarova and then Venus Williams against Victoria Azarenka. And when you say, Nigel, that some things never change, that really sums it up, doesn't it? We've got Venus Williams about 20 years at the top of the sport, still on the brink of the top 10, and here she is in the semi-finals.
Oh, it's incredible. 34 years old now and back to playing very close to her best. 46 titles she's got behind her and number one in the world back in 2002. She's playing Victoria Azarenka, who was number one some 10 years later. She's also on her comeback trail and looking pretty good this week in Doha, where she, of course, has enjoyed so much success in the past.
It's great to see Victoria Azarenka back, isn't it? Because she had a pretty miserable year last year. She only played the 9 events. And I read an interview she did in the New York Times with Chris Clary in which she was explaining that she'd been out of the game for a little while and she'd had time to reflect. She'd had a breakup in her personal life and she wasn't feeling that great. But she'd kind of re-found her way. She got into art and started to be happier away from the court. And you can kind of see that there's a real hunger about her again, isn't there?
Well, it's good to see her back. She's such a great competitor. And last year she was out of sorts. She missed Roland Garros too. Had a bunch of difficult injuries, and especially in her foot. And of course, if you can't move, you've got all kinds of problems out there. And back with a bang here in Doha. And she looks full of energy and has got that desire back to climb up the rankings. And I'm sure when you consider that she's ranked 48 at the moment, she'll probably be inside the top 10 again by the end of Wimbledon.
Wow, that's quick.
Well, I mean, I don't think it takes very long when you're doing well in the big tournaments, and she has every chance of winning this title, although she's got a really tough one today in Venus Williams.
No, absolutely. Well, by the time you hear this on Monday, you'll know whether she's got there. I have a sneaky feeling that she's got a real chance. The problem is she's playing Venus Williams in the match we're going to watch shortly, and Venus Williams has won all 8 sets between the two. And Venus Williams, generally speaking, what a story. And what a story the Williams sisters are in general. I mean, if you consider the story that they've had, and particularly the last 10, 15 years, all the illnesses and Venus Williams with the Sjogren syndrome and Serena Williams obviously had that pulmonary embolism, the terrible situation that occurred after she cut her foot. To think that they are still at the top of the game, I mean, Serena Williams is world number one. I mean, how is she doing this?
Well, it's incredible. I think in Serena's case, she definitely has that label, which she has earned in a very genuine way as probably the greatest female tennis player we've ever seen. So it's not really a surprise. The incredible thing is that both Serena and Venus, coming from the same family, from the background they've come from, to dominate women's tennis for so many years, it's just phenomenal.
Greatest player we've ever seen. That is some accolade. She's on 19 Grand Slam titles at the moment. So she's ahead of Martina and Chris Evert, behind Steffi Graf at the moment. Do you think she's going to catch her?
Well, I do. I mean, Serena's made it quite clear she intends to be in Rio for the Olympics. So, I mean, we've got four Grand Slams a year. Steffi, a fabulous player, 22 Grand Slams to her name. But it's not just the titles, although obviously she may well need to eclipse Steffi to officially claim the label. But in terms of level, I don't think we've ever seen an athlete like this with such a complete game, such a great match player, and somebody that has the whole package. I don't think we've ever seen that before. And sometimes she's just unplayable.
We're going to talk a little bit later about your coaching career. And obviously you worked with Amanda Kurtzer and Daniela Hantikova and then Anna Ivanovic. Now, we're going back 15 and more years to before you started working with Amanda Kurtzer. So you would, I imagine, remember the Williams sisters coming along, wouldn't you?
For sure I did. And I'd had the heads up from an American coach called Benny Sims, who spent a long time working with Chanda Rubin. And he told me, you've got to see what's coming. You know, we've got two sisters that are just going to dominate the world of tennis. And I sort of laughed it off a bit and I said, come on, Benny, because I, you know, he always had that habit of getting a bit carried away. And we used to put a couple of noughts on everything he said. On this occasion, he was going to be proved absolutely right, because when they arrived on the scene, I mean, Venus, I remember playing her first pro match, and she'd hardly played a junior match. Richard Williams kept them away from that, and she came on the scene and was just so impressive right from her very first event.
And I mean, I think she was 14, in fact, when she played her first pro match. And then in 1997, she reached a Grand Slam final, and she'd never even played the US Open before, and then she reached the final of it. I mean, it is extraordinary.
Well, it is. And, you know, anyone playing against the Williams knew exactly what they were in for on the day. I mean, just huge power and incredible striking force and just wonderful tennis players, both of them.
I just wonder, as a coach sending players out to play against them, do you have to prepare your player in some regards psychologically as well? Because they carry such presence, don't they?
Well, they really do. And I think the thing about playing against the Williams is that you have to be able to serve well. If you can't serve well against the Williams, you're onto a hiding, because you're not going to have that many opportunities to break serve. Yes, you do have a few chances when Venus is having a bad day on her first serve, because her second serve is a little more vulnerable than Serena's. Serena's just could actually play the tour. I've said it many times on just her second serve. I think it's that good. But if you don't serve well yourself, then you might as well just pack your bags.
Indeed. Now, at the moment, we've talked there about Azarenka and Venus and Serena. There's a number of young players coming up at the moment that we've been covering throughout the last year and a half here on BT Sport and commentating on them regularly. It's getting pretty interesting, isn't it? Seeing just how many there are and the different things they bring to the table. We saw Sloane Stephens a couple of years ago. We saw Eugenie Bouchard last year. This year, Madison Keys is the player on everybody's lips. And last week on the tennis podcast, we were speaking to Brad Gilbert, who said that in 24 to 36 months, she is going to be number one in the world.
Well, Brad likes to put a couple of noughts on what he says too, but he's usually right. And that's not a bad call. It's a big call. Number one is quite something. She's headed for the top of the game, that's for sure. Going to need a really good head on her shoulders over the next couple of years to achieve that goal in that time frame, but it's not impossible, and she's a contender for that kind of status. And then the other players you've mentioned, well, of course, they also have a shot at getting to the top of the game, although Stephen's struggling at the moment. I've been so impressed with Karolina Pliskova. She's made a real impression. Elena Svitolina, Garbina Muguruza. I mean, Williams will take some replacing, both of them. And these young players are classy young players, and it's the next generation. You've got Caroline Garcia. She's in the semifinals this week in Acapulco. You've got Taylor Townsend, another young American. Belinda Bencic. I mean, you've got so many, and I think it's so refreshing to see them starting to make real inroads at the top of the women's game.
It is, and we actually really enjoy watching them every week here in the job that we do. I mean, what a job this is, Nigel. We just get to sit in here, watch tennis and talk about it, and people get to call that work.
Well, it's stress-free. I tell you, it's totally different from sitting on the side of the court and knowing that if your player loses that match, you're packing the bags and moving on to the next week. Here, we've got another match the next day. You can't lose.
So. No, you're absolutely right. And that being the case, I mean, to take you back to the years when you were coaching us on the tour, and I dare say that's something in the future may happen again for you, but certainly if we were to go back to the days when you started out with Amanda Kurtz, so what is that life like? Because I think most people look at tennis professionals and think, oh, that looks fantastic, you know, going around the world, glamorous locations, playing tennis all day, getting paid lots of money. It's not all like that, is it?
It is a fabulous life. I wouldn't want to change it for anything. I think where I've been very fortunate is that I've been able to work with some good players, nice people, and there have been gaps. There have been times where I can do something else, still involved in tennis in this country, in between, because the tour is really exhausting. It is not just the travel and the day-to-day grind of it, but you know, there is a certain amount of pressure, and if you're driven, you want to your player to achieve success, and you know, it takes an awful lot of energy, as does any job, if you put your heart and soul into it. But I think that I have been very fortunate in being able to spend time at home with the family and also doing things on a domestic scene here in between some very nice tour jobs. So I really had the best of both worlds. I think for those players who've been out there nonstop for some 15 plus years, well, I take my hat off to them.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Because that's a huge commitment.
It certainly is. Now, Amanda Kurtzer, I mentioned you started with, and she had already been inside the world's top five before you started working with her. Then she dropped and you got her back inside the top 10. I just wonder, what is it like coaching, coming on board and coaching somebody who already knows pretty much what's going on in the tennis world? It's not like picking up the reins of a teenager, is it? You've got somebody who will, I imagine, have their own opinions and their own thoughts on how things should work.
That's very different. It's a totally different situation, and that's also very challenging. You have to be the right fit at the right time for the player that you're working with. Again, I've worked across lots of different age groups, and an already established player has a mind of their own, and as you say, they have the experience from the tour themselves. They've got a clear idea of what they feel they need and the direction in which they're headed, and your job is to listen to them, to encourage them, to back them, to make suggestions and to help them achieve their goals. It's very different if you take a young player. When I started with Daniela Hantakova, she was just 18 years old. She was ranked 84 in the world. She was playing the qualifyings. And you then very much, you're the one with the tour experience and the information, and you've got to get that across. And as that player matures, it then becomes more of a two-way thing until you get to the mature player, as Amanda was, where you take more of a backseat.
They couldn't really be more different, could they, Amanda Kurtzer and Daniela Hantikova? Because for a start, Hantikova, as you say, was a teenager when you started working with her. Kurtzer was more established. But look at them physically. Amanda Kurtzer was 5'2".
Yes, she was 5'2", shortest legs on the tour, but electric wheels. And of course, Daniela, 5'11 or so, with the longest legs on the tour.
So how does that change your job?
Well, it doesn't really. It does in the way you deal with the players, because they had different game styles. But in terms of your commitment, your time on the tour or whatever, it's very much the same kind of job. But you have to get to know them, different personalities also. And that coach-player relationship is very important. And if you don't have that, you don't have anything.
But I remember you saying a couple of times that, you know, you can't just coach against one top player in the same way if you've got different players, because your players will have their own weapons, their own, I imagine, drawbacks as well. But, you know, you've got to look at what you've got before you work out your game plan.
Well, of course, it's attention to the game styles, and the different matchups bring a lot of different situations, and you have different equations to decipher. But it's all about your player playing to their strengths and trying to identify ahead of time opponents' weaknesses and trying to neutralise their strengths. It's fascinating.
Now, you're too modest to want to talk about things that have gone well when you've been coaching tennis players, but I'm going to do so. In 2002, Nigel, when Daniela Hantikova really announced herself, it was in Indian Wells, wasn't it? And she notched up some incredible wins that week, most notably in the final. She was pretty much unheard of outside of the real tennis scene. And she went to the final of one of the biggest tournaments outside of the Grand Slams, and she thrashed Martina Hingis. What was that like to witness?
Well, it was incredible, because Martina was number one in the world at the time. And I think that en route, she'd beaten Justine Henin and Barbara Schett, who was also a top 10 player. And she was unseeded, actually. I have a feeling she was. She came through. There were horrific conditions on the day. It was one of those desert storms. It was so windy. And I can remember her hitting 24 backhand down the line winners. It was just like threading a needle. It was unbelievable. And she just happened to pull it off on the day. And, you know, that really set her off on her way to the top 10.
Yeah, and she ultimately got to 5 in the world, and she got to Wimbledon quarterfinals that year and the US Open quarterfinals as well. From that position, you've obviously spent some time in the British tennis scene. You were Fed Cup captain as well. We'll talk about that as well in a moment, based on the fact that Britain has a big Davis Cup tie against the United States, and I'm fascinated to know what it is like being in the chair on the side of the court there. But also, you've worked since then with Anna Ivanovic as well, and she's still a player who is bouncing back again now, isn't she? And she had a good year last year.
Well, she's had her ups and downs in her career, and of course was number one in the world the year that she won the French Open in 2008. And then she found it really difficult to deal with the expectation, and she had some issues with emotional control and struggled a bit with her ball toss, as has been well documented. And I was one of a number of coaches that worked with her on her way back up, and we played our part in trying to help her get back up to the top. She's still got a little way to do to go, but in the last year or so, she's just played some sensational tennis and had a great year last year, and won, I think, 4 titles last year, which was superb, and it was wonderful to see her back in the tour finals after so many years of absence.
Yeah, because she's a natural talent, isn't she?
Oh, she's such an instinctive player and so much ability. She's got a big game, and, you know, she's a very exciting player to watch and is one of the marquee players in the sport, no question.
I mentioned Davis Cup next week, Britain against the United States. Leon Smith has picked his team. He's got Andy Murray in singles alongside James Ward. He's picked 2 doubles players as well in Dominic Inglot and Jamie Murray. The United States have gone for, obviously, the Bryan brothers with singles players of John Isner and Mr. Young, in fact, it was, of course, who he's picked alongside John Isner. So it's an interesting thing that you have to do as a captain, isn't it? Part of it, I suppose, is picking the team. But then you're out there, unlike on at the Grand Slams, okay, you have the on-court coaching at the WTA events, but unlike at the Slams where I imagine you give your team talk, your pep talk, and then you just have to leave them to it, you're out there as a Fed Cup captain or a Davis Cup captain. What is it like?
Well, lots of differences. One of the main, very obvious differences is that the players that you're on court helping in international team competitions might well be coached by somebody else. So you're actually, you know, looking after somebody else's property there. And they might have had their own views on how this match should be played and so on. So all of that has to be taken into consideration, and you help where you can. And some players want a lot of information from a captain, even if it's not your personal coach. Some don't. And so that's a very, very different scenario just to start with. Always have difficult situations to deal with, whether you're a Fed Cup or a Davis Cup captain. You've got awkward team selections to make. I mean, there's one coming right up in this tie, especially in the doubles, because you've got Jamie Murray and Dominic Inglot both playing exceptionally well at the moment, and they've both had wins over the Bryan brothers, and they'll be vying for a spot in what could well decide the whole tie. And then on the American side of the fence, you've got this situation where Query was selected for singles on clay and lost to James Ward, which is almost certainly why Young has been brought in, because he's got a better record against Ward in recent matches. So that's you know, that's an interesting scenario for the American captain. It is very different. It's still inherently you're doing the same job. Because of course in the women's tour we have on-court coaching. So on the men's tour, you don't. And you don't have it in the slams, of course. I don't really agree with it, to be honest with you. I never have done, because there's no consistency there. I mean, how can you work on court with a player on the WTA tour most of the year, and then when it comes to the biggest tournaments of the year, you're not allowed to? So there's also the fact that I feel that it takes away the independence of a player. And I think that's not right either.
And I suppose in a way it could cause your player problems when they get to the Grand Slams, when suddenly they can't draw upon it an on-court coach.
Well, you don't want a player to become too dependent on you. And I think it's very useful, particularly for young players. It's obviously easier to be more objective from the sidelines and when you're under the stress and the pressure of the match out there yourself. But often a more experienced player will work things out for themselves, and that's part of the sport.
Could go all the way, couldn't it? America against Britain, that one. Could go to the fifth.
Well, you've got to think that Andy's well capable of winning his singles. Give James Ward certainly a shot, and if he can come up with something, great. If he can't, and he loses to players who, of course, are ranked higher than him, then it'll come down to that doubles. And the doubles could be everything.
Something to look forward to. It's something I'm going to be at, actually, in Glasgow for BBC Radio 5 Live. Very much looking forward to that. We'll have live commentary on 5 Live Sports Extra throughout the duration of that. Hey, Nigel and I, we better go and speak about some women's tennis here on BT Sport.
I can't sit here and talk to you all day. I mean, come on, I've got a job to do.
Absolutely. Tell you what, you've got an interesting couple of months coming up, haven't you, Nigel? Have you got your suit yet? You're going to have a son-in-law, Andy Murray.
I wonder when you were going to bring that up. It's just round the corner. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Well, we hope it's a fantastic day, and I'm sure every tennis fan wishes Kim and Andy all the best. And thanks to you, Nigel, for joining us here on the Tennis Podcast. Now, just before I go, a heads up for you all. Tomorrow, Tuesday, the 3rd of March at 10 o'clock in the morning, tickets to the Aegon Championships at Queen's Club, where Andy Murray will be playing alongside defending champion Grigor Dimitrov and four-time winner Leighton Hewitt. They will go on sale 10 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday. So if you'd like to go, go to aegonchampionships.com to see if you can get some tickets. I doubt they'll last long, so you better get in there. We'll speak to you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.